Amen. And so this morning, our the church's first elder beside myself, Elder Tyson, who's been here from the very pre-beginning, one of the first people I called when God called me to plant a church, and I was trying to feel my oats out there, and I'm like, well, guess what? I think God wants us to plant a church together. Why don't you guys move up here from Dallas, Texas, in your high-paying job and your family, and come hang out up here? And he went, and then he called me back a couple days later. Well, it's kind of sort of like that. And he called me back a couple days later, and he said, okay, we're in. And so ever since then, he and Brandy and their whole family have been faithful and a huge part of the pillar of this church with Jesus as our cornerstone. Amen. And so this morning, Elder Ty's got a good word on us and a super applicable for today on family and the church and our oikos. And so welcome, Elder Tyson Yarnell, this morning.
Ah, shucks. Well, thanks. Good morning. Good morning. All right. Well, I am glad to be here this morning with you. Get out your Bibles. And so Pastor Rob can giggle about it and, whoa, hey, did you see that catch? Can giggle about it in private and just all that, but excuse me. But I think I want to talk about it a little bit. So have you all met my nephew? He's pretty cute. And there's a George running around here somewhere too. Where's Calvin? Hey, there he is. Hi, Calvin. Shout out to Calvin. And so a couple babies were born this week, and it was mentioned in passing, Rob didn't want to talk about it, that Alexander's middle name is Robert. You might guess it's after Pastor Rob. And that, yeah, aw, is a very good reaction to that. But that's going to tie in, I think, perfect with what we're going to talk about today, because that, if that doesn't show you the meaning and the value of church, family, and body, I don't know what does. You know, that to me is just I wept when I heard that, because it just is the essence of everything that God has called us to do, is to be family like that. That your pastor is someone that's as important to you that you name your child after them. So I am honored to be a part of a body like that along with you. And so Rob can't stop me because I have the microphone. And so anyway, we're going to talk about a couple things today. So let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 12. And so go ahead and get ready. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into our word a little bit here. Father, I am unworthy to bring your word. God, I am just a mere man, God. But Lord, you have called, and you have ordained, and you have equipped, and God, I trust in you and not in me. And so, Lord, I thank you for your call and your word, Lord, that comes forth and never returns empty. And so today, God, I just pray that I will be faithful to your word. God, I will be faithful to what it is you've laid on my heart to share. God, I will be faithful to the vision and the mission of this body that you've called us to, God, that you're part of your body, Lord, as we just talk about that very thing today. And so, Lord, may you be glorified in this time as we worship you in your word, God, just proclaiming your word to your people and back to you, God, in praise. And so we thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' holy and precious and beautiful name we pray. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Everybody's there. All right. Starts out, I'm reading from the ESV, so it says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? Where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the feet, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that all the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So I want to argue today to you a couple things. First, the primary thing I want to argue with you today is that the church, the body of Christ, the body of Christ big, and we're going to talk about that, and the body of Christ local, is the single most important thing in your life. There is nothing above that. It is the most important thing that you will encounter, that you will embrace, that you will be a part of in your life, period. So that's my foundation, okay? And so we want to build on that today, and I want to try to explain to you why I believe that and why you should also believe that. All right, would you do me a favor? Would you give me a bottle of water, please? And so my first point today is to say this. Hold on, it's a kicker. You are part of a body. I went out on a stretch on that one. You are part of a body. If you are part of Christ's family, if you were baptized into Christ, thank you, baby, then you are part of a body. And so being part of a body means a few things. It means that you're not just a church attender. It means that you're not just a church avoider. It means you're not a church hopper. It means you're not a church shopper. It means that you are a part of a body. And being part of that body, like we read in chapter 12, you have a role to play in it. And so now I don't want this to become, this is my intention today isn't to be a sermon about church membership, but we can't really move on until we address that first thing. Okay, and so I have to address it. And so I want to go back again and point out in that text we just read, in 1 Corinthians 12, it says many times that you are members. There are many members. Members that not have the same function, but they are all individually members together, members of one body. What else does it say? God arranged the members in the body. If all were a single, and so God goes over and over throughout this text. Paul refers to one body, lots of members. So in order to be a member of the body, there has to be people to fill that role. He talks about some of those roles. In Romans 12 says, having gifts that differ, use them according to the grace given. It says, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in serving, the one who teaches in teaching, exhortation, the one who exhorts in exhortation, the one who contributes generously, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So he gives these various roles, he explains these roles, and there needs to be an individual that fills each one of those roles. And so it makes it pretty clear that one person doesn't do all of it. Right? Can you agree with that there? So there's many members, many roles, and each member has a specific role that they fill. And so if there are many people or many roles to be filled, then that means there has to be many people filling them, right? Where do the people come from? They're you. Right? And so we've had conversations multiple times over the years about church membership and why church membership and church membership isn't in the Bible. I can't understand that one, but it's argued. And I think it says over and over right here that church membership is in the Bible. The body of Christ is spoken about over and over in the Bible. It means the word church in the Bible is the word ecclesia, literally means called out. It's used, I counted up, read 114 times in the New Testament, the word ecclesia is used in reference to the church. At least 90 of those 114 times, it is used in reference to a specific local church. The other 24-ish times, it refers to the universal church of Christ, all the church together under one body under Christ. But 90 of those times, it's talking about the church here. So I wrote a few of them down. It says in Acts 11, report came to the church in Jerusalem. I'm going the wrong way with my notes. Corinthians 1, it says to the church of God that is in Corinth. Romans 16, it says greet Priscilla and Aquila, the church in their house. And so over and over, that's just a few of them. There's 90 of them. I didn't want to list them all. That lists individual churches. And so where Paul is writing to individual churches, to the people of an individual church, then there has to be there is underlying in that a place in the church where people say, this is my church, right? So that's the first thing I want to establish today is, where is your church? So if Paul were writing you a letter, if he was writing a letter today that he wanted you to hear as a believer in Jesus Christ, where would he write to you at? Are you a member of Restored? Have you said, I am going to come and lay down my life with Restored? Is there another church that you're just visiting here today, but you have another church? But the important thing is there is that you have said, and as a believer in Christ, if you've not accepted Christ, then this doesn't really apply to you yet. But if you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, then it is imperative that you identify yourself with the body of Christ. Not just as a universal church, but as an individual local church. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit more, if you can imagine. So there it is. Second point is, the reason we identify with a local church is because we're commanded to. If you read, again, in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body are one body, so it is with Christ. So it is with Christ. If you are a part of the body, if you are not a part of the body, then are you with Christ? Because that verse just said, so it is with Christ. It said, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. As so it is with Christ. And so if you are not identifying with a body of Christ, are you identifying with Christ? Okay, I'm not saying you're not, but I'm asking you the question. Why? Because it says over and over in here that there is a body, the local body. So it says, again in chapter 12, verse 21, it says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. You cannot say to the other parts of the body, I don't need you. I'm on my own. I'm part of the Jesus body. I don't need the church. I don't need the ears and the feet and the toes and all those pieces because I'm just going to do church on my own. I'm part of the body of Christ. You know, I've got my own faith. It says, you cannot do that. It says, cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And so it goes on to say later down that text, it says, as it is, I didn't write this one down. Yeah, maybe he said. Pardon me. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So it gives two examples there of where you cannot say, I don't need you. You cannot say to the local members, the other parts of the body, that you don't need them. It's very clear that we need the rest of the body to be affiliated with the body of Christ means we affiliate to a body of Christ. Okay? And so it is commanded of us in that, and it's commanded actually that you cannot not be part of one. So you cannot say to the rest of the body, I don't need you. It does, let me look here. It says, in 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So it even goes further to say, you cannot say you don't need it. And it goes on to say, you are, this is what you are. You are part of the body of Christ, individually, a member of the body, identified with a body of Christ. Okay? And so, those are the big things that I want to kind of lay down today. And then I want to talk about the whys. Okay? So these things, we are a body of Christ because we are commanded to be a body of Christ. It is biblical. It is spoken about throughout the scriptures that the body is together, and you cannot not be part of a body. Okay, now why do you need to be part of a body? And I'm going to ask that as a question. Why do you need to be part of a body? Accountability. Forgiveness and love. Encouragement. Amen. Yeah. You need the body. Amen. You have to have the body. It tells us it is in the body of Christ that we are loved. It is in the body of Christ that we are served. It is in the body of Christ that we are built up and encouraged. It is in the body of Christ that we are led. It tells us in Hebrews 13, it says, obey your leaders and submit to them. That's fun to stand up here and say from a pulpit. Obey your leaders and submit to them. But the idea there is that, let me read the rest of that text. It says, why do you obey your leaders and submit to them? So there's that one little check chunk that says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Now listen to the rest of the verse. It says, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be no advantage to you. And it says, pray for us. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. Says, your role is to obey and submit to your leaders. Your leader's role is to stand before God and account for you. Weigh the scales there a little bit. So the leader of the church that God has called, as we saw back there in chapter 12 of Corinthians, says, for some were given to teach, some were given to lead. Okay, God selected those roles. Paul talked about them in 1 Corinthians. And then those who were accounted to lead will stand before God and give an account for how well they led you. And so you need the body so you can be led by the body is one thing. You need the body for what was it you said, Steve? Left? Forgiveness and love. Yes. Matthew 18. How many of you are familiar with that? Matthew 18 is a fun text. I'm just going to read it to you. It says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. This is church discipline, and I would say one of the other points today is that as members of the body of Christ, we yearn for church discipline and restoration. Now that might sound a little bit psychotic. Maybe psychotic is too strong a word. But don't we? I mean, think about it. Don't we yearn for that kind of love for that kind of accountability. Now maybe we don't necessarily enjoy it when it's happening, but if I am in sin, if I am wandering off in sin, and in a sin that is going to compromise my life, compromise my marriage, compromise my identity with Christ, how do I not yearn for someone to say, hey, brother, come on back. Hey, brother, you're stepping outside of the boundaries here. Hey, brother, Ty, we love you, man, and we see this in your life, and we've got to correct this, man, because you're getting off course here, and it's going to destroy you. Of course I want that. Of course. Now, I hope I never have to have that, but you know what? I will. Maybe not to that degree, but there will be things in my life. There's the old song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord I love. Yeah, that's me. And I know you. And that's many of you also. Prone to wander. Our hearts wander. Our desires wander. Our eyes wander. If we don't have a church body to say, hey, brother, sister, you're wandering. Let's come back. Hey, let's repent and be restored back in and bring healing and hope and restoration back. Let's, you know, save your family. Let's save your children. So of course we want that. Which is another part of why you need a body. You need a body because the body is where you are loved. The body of Christ is where we receive love in Christ. That restoration and discipline that we just talked, that is love. That is someone loving us well. When someone loves us well enough to say to us that we're wandering, that is love. Love is not let them do whatever they want. You know, it's not my business. That's between him and God. That's not love. That's damnation. Love says, repent. Damnation leaves us to our own desires. So it's in the body of Christ that we receive love. Now, one of the biggest things that I think is just an example that we saw with Jared and Andy and Mr. Alexander Robert, but is one of the biggest parts that I love about this church is that within this body of Christ is just an example of gospel family that I've never, ever seen anywhere else. And so, yeah, that's praise God for that. And so that is the pinnacle of what it is to be a part of a family of God, to be a part of the body of Christ, is that within our body, yeah, within that body is where our lives revolve. That doesn't mean we don't have friends and relationships outside of the body, because of course we do. But it is the body of Christ that is our centrality, and everything else flows out from there. Everything else flows down from that, but from the body of Christ is the head. Okay, Christ is the head, his body, the church, and everything else flows out from Christ. So when our relationships outside of the church, those relationships, if they are not, you know, if they're with other believers that are parts of other churches and local church bodies, then they should be doing the same thing. So you should be encouraging one another wherever you encounter them. And if they're not part of that, your role is to be a light and a witness to them. And so it's to say, hey, I've got this family here. Come and be a part of it. Hey, I've got this healing and hope here. I want you to know about it. Hey, I'm loved here. Come and just experience this. Hey, I get fellowship and friendship and everything that is in me is founded through Christ and his body, and I long for you to know that love. That is the purpose of our lives. I can't remember who it said it. Rob told me it. You know, the purpose of the church is missions, and the purpose of missions is the church. Right? Was that MacArthur? Huh? So, but isn't the purpose of our being here to come into this place, to glorify God, to praise Him, to be filled and lifted up and by this body, so that we can go from this place and be the light that we were created to be? We come back into here to celebrate what He's done, to praise Him for what He's been doing, to be filled and encouraged and lifted up, to keep flowing that back out onto the rest of the world that doesn't know Him. That's the whole, that's the cycle of your faith. That's what our faith is all about. It's not just, hey, I believe, let me go to church and sit there and listen and that'll be my thing I do. It's absolutely not your thing you do. God didn't give you a faith so you can stagnate on your faith. God gave you faith so that you can be a light to shine, to grow His kingdom for His glory. So we are called as believers in Jesus to do that. I'm going to share with you some texts that say that exact thing. I bet you knew that was coming. God is glorified. I am all out of order in here. In His body. God is glorified in His body. God established the church as a display of His glory. When the church is marked off from the world, it's set apart from the world, as the word ecclesia means, called out, through the faithful practice of church membership and discipline, and led by godly qualified men who teach the word of God and equip all the saints for works of His service. Listen to this. The church's corporate, that means all of us, the church's corporate character proclaims the glory of God through the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel in the corporate church proclaims the power of God. Us, that's you and me. That's not just me alone. That's not just the pastors and elders. That is the corporate body of Christ bearing the gospel on our lives together. Proclaim the glory of God. Okay, and so I would offer to you that if you are not, what was it the guy said in the video last week that was so good? I should have wrote it down in my notes here. That if people aren't asking you about the faith that they see in you, then you really need to ask yourself, are you living out your faith? I mean, that is harsh words, but isn't it true? Can we deny that? I mean, I don't want to admit it, because I don't get asked about my faith as often as I wish I did. It happens from time to time. But, if I'm really, truly pouring forth gospel light into everyone I meet and encounter, shouldn't everyone see that in me? Now, they may not all ask me, but everyone should see that in me. There should never be a time. And I can't do that by myself. I've got to have you. I've got to have your encouragement, your strength that Christ gives me in you, because it's His church. The church belongs to Jesus, right? He is the head. I mean, listen to these texts. I mean, this as I read through this, it just said Christ founded the church. He told Peter, on this rock I will build my church, in Matthew 16. Christ purchased the church. So not only did He found it, He purchased it with His blood. It says in Acts 20, to care for the church which He obtained with His own blood. Christ identifies Himself as the church. Christ, His own person, is the church. He said to Saul when he was on the road to Damascus in Acts 9, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Me. Calls it Himself is being persecuted. The church is the body of Christ. It tells us in Ephesians, all over the place. Ephesians 1, as the head of all things over the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him, to equip the saints. In Ephesians 4, for building up the body of Christ. In Colossians 1, it says, for the sake of His body, that is the church. The whole thing we read in 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body of Christ. I mean, Christ's physical body is manifested here. In you. You are a part of it. I think we get so caught up in this in this cycle of life that we come to church and the weight of the world weighs on us and the distractions weigh upon us and the sufferings and the trials and the things of life that distract and work and financial troubles and children that are wayward and drugs and alcohol, and the list could go on and on and on and on and on of all these things that start piling up between us and living out the gospel life that Christ has called us to. And next thing you know, we're like standing over here and it's way over, like, I think I can see it. Can you move your head just a little to the left? You know, we're trying to figure out our way back to it, but Christ says, no, it is in you. The Holy Spirit, my notes are all scattered. The Holy Spirit of Christ lives inside of you. You don't have to be searching for it, looking for it. It's in you. The gospel doesn't, you don't go get the gospel. The gospel comes out. Okay, it comes from within that you go and share the Christ's love. It's inside of you. You don't have to go looking for it. I wish I could find it. My apologies. I tried to go back to using paper instead of using my iPad. I remember why I stopped using paper. I'm like, oh no, they're out of order. So, but the Spirit of God dwells in you. That means that you are a part of Christ's body. You, when he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He's talking about you. He's talking about us. We aren't separated from that. When Saul was persecuting the church, I am the church. Christ is the church. I'm in him as the church. And being in him as the church means that I can't take myself out of that. I can't de-church me. It's everything I am. If I'm in Christ, then I am in his church. And that means I identify with the church. I stand proudly and say, you bet I'm a member of Restored Community Church. I'm here. I mean, Rob initiated, and I'm not saying this to boast, but the whole stinking reason we're in Kansas is because of Restored Community Church. We moved here, and thank you, we moved here to be a part of this family. Okay? You know, there's job opportunities and things I could do and work that I could do where we could make more money and pay for, you know, pay all our bills. But we can't do those things because we're here to be a part of this family. And if that means that we struggle there and we suffer there and, you know, maybe we don't make the bills this month because, you know, in order to make that happen, my family would have to suffer, then that doesn't happen. Then we, our sole focus as for our family, and I will, I'll confess, we have, as an elder of this church, I've got a different role than some of you have. But that doesn't mean we're not all part of this together. Okay? I can't do my role if you're not doing yours. I can't shepherd, and I can't lead, and I mean, that verse where it says, pray for us? Good grief, if you had any idea how much we need your prayers. I mean, we're desperate for them. Sorry. So, as a body together, I've completely forgotten where I was. As a body together, we've got to hold, you know, identify together with one another, with Christ. And then from that point is where we are calling others out as well. The church called out, right? Ecclesia called out. And so now our goal as believers in Jesus is to go into a lost and broken world and call out others from brokenness into Christ's body, which is where healing and restoration and hope happen. I mean, I have a good friend of mine. I invited him to be here today. I've invited him to be here I don't know how many times. He's never come. And so maybe someday, Lord, you know, I believe he's going to come. But he's a dear, we were best friends growing up. We did everything together. We joined the military together. We lived together after we got out of the military. You know, I was living with him when I started dating Brandy. So he was the last person I lived with before I married my wife. So closest friend I ever had until Rob. And so, and he's not a believer. I've, you know, shared the gospel with him. He's not opposed to it. He's like, oh, yeah, man, that's good stuff. Yeah, I see. You're right. I need to read my Bible. And you know, I read my Bible. Well, you should come be a part of a body. But he doesn't, so far it hasn't been spurred in that. So I keep praying, keep asking, keep inviting. I keep, you know, we meet together. We try to do lunch every month or so together to just hang out and spend time together. But, you know, it is what it is. So his, all that, don't know why I shared all that. Anyway, all that, his girlfriend that he lives with, they've lived together for a while. She was a student at Columbine High School in 1999. And so many of you are familiar with Columbine, the first major mass school shooting to happen in America. Well, she was a high school student at the high school as the shooting happened. So you can imagine when things like this week go down, how hard that must be for a young lady that endured and saw massacre on such a level as that. That, you know, this week there was the shootings in Oregon, which is heartbreaking. I don't know the answers. You know, I see news and try not to look at it because usually it just makes me angry. You know, everybody wants to argue one side or the other, and none of them are right, I don't think. But, you know, our world, I mean, you look around and things like that, I don't have to tell you. You guys see the brokenness. How can you feel the brokenness? Our world is a lost, fallen, broken place that isn't getting better, that's falling further and further and further away from Christ. And if the church of God and the people of God and the local church is not and does not fulfill the role that Christ has called them to, who knows how many people are going to be lost. It is the commission of Christ to us to go and make disciples, to go and share his love with them, to go and tell them about his love for them, how much he yearns for them, how much he loves them, how much that he wants to heal their brokenness that they've experienced, how much he wants them to be restored and made new. I mean, that is what God has set us apart for. When he called us out of brokenness, that's what he called us to, was to go and make disciples, to go and love one another, as First John says. That's what our commission is. We are to love one another as Christ has loved us. Love our neighbors as ourselves. The great commandment, the great commission, right? The great commission is the mechanism of the great commandment happening, right? So the great commission is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? And the great commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And so as the Great Commission moves forward, it's the Great Commandment that's coming with it, right? And so that is what our role as a church is. How many of you are capable of that by yourself? Not me. I'm bitter. I get jaded. I get envious. I get angry. I get lazy. I get everything that keeps that from moving forward in my life is what I want to do. And so I have to purposely, through the strength in Christ, through the gospel community around me, through a church that it spurs me on, through brothers that hold me accountable, through a wife that won't ever let me settle, through all kinds of things, I have to push forward through those things so that the gospel light can shine in my life. And that is exactly what you have to do also. And we do that together. We do that as the body of Christ together. I don't know why I keep coming back and looking at my notes. Oh, I want to share this. 1 Corinthians 3 says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, he will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. That word you, in the Greek word there, is a plural word. It's not a single word. It should say yous. Yous are holy. Yous are God's temple. Or if we were down in Texas still, it'd be y'all. But we're not in Texas anymore. Y'all are God's temple. You, all, every one of us together are the holy temple of God, created in Christ Jesus as a body of Christ to go forth and do the good works, as it tells us in Ephesians 5. To go to do the good works that he created for us to do. Those good works are the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the great commission, the great commandment, glorifying Christ. Okay, so we're going to get through this. You are a part of the body of Christ. You are commanded to be a part of the body of Christ. You need the body of Christ. The body of Christ needs you. We need one another, y'all. Now I'm yawling. We need one another. I need you. You need me. Scrawny little old me. You need me. You need me. That makes me feel good. You need me. Probably not as much as I need you, but you need me. We need, thank you, Jessica. We need. You bet I am, buddy. I am the chip. I'm like a hobbit foot. Hairy. Not that hairy. But we need one another. We need the encouragement of the body of Christ. I mean, I know I am not the only person in here that has struggled, that has stumbled, that has been just utterly heartbroken, that has been depressed beyond words, that has wanted to quit, wanted to give up, wanted to run away, wanted to hide, I know I'm not the only one. You don't have to raise your hands, but I know you're out there. You need me. And I needed you. And I will need you again. I'm going to do something, and I may get in trouble for this, but Renee, you look absolutely beautiful today. Renee, you need the body of Christ. You need the body of Christ. You need to know your beauty. You need to be reminded how beautiful you are. And you know what? The body of Christ needs you, Renee. We need your zeal for worship. We need your passion for the Lord. We need your smile that never ends. We need your love for the children. We need one another. We need one another because it is in the body of Christ that God is glorified, and it is in the body of Christ that we are glorified. We are glorified. You know the Bible says that you will shine like the sun. Have you seen the sun? Anybody watch the blood moon a couple weeks ago, last week or whatever? It was last week, wasn't it? See what the moon looks like when the shadow of the earth hits it and there's no sunlight shining on it, and it's just kind of that rusty color. Kind of cool, actually. Right? But you know what the moon looks like when the sun is shining on it? I mean, did anybody see the moon the next day? How crazy gigantic it was, and just like, it was like half daylight out there. The Bible says that you will shine like the sun. I'd tell you where that was at if I could find it in my notes. Bubba, you aren't going to need sunglasses because you're going to be full of the glory of the Lord. Page 6, page 7, page 8. Hey, I found it. Matthew 13. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Matthew 13:43. Romans 8 says, those whom he justified, he glorified. Romans 8:17 says, in order that we may also be glorified with him. You are going to be glorified just like Christ is glorified. You in through the church, through Christ's body, you are glorified. So, and the last, my last point. My last point is you are glorified. You need the church, and it is for your joy that you need it. It is the joy of the Lord. It is not a burden. There is nothing in my life that is more joyful to me than this body and being a part of this. We have been here for, we'll be 8 years old here in, gosh, a month. Wow. And for 8 years, we've been able to identify ourselves as a part of Restored Community Church. And that is, you know, and that has come with challenges and difficulties and lots of tears and blood and sweat. But, oh, the joy. The joy to see Christ's body lifted up and glorified and worshiped together is what it's all about. And so it is our joy that we do this. 1 Peter 1 says, rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith. John 16 says, our hearts will rejoice and no one can take our joy from us. I mean, come on, isn't that a truth? 1 John 1:3 says that our joy, 1:4 says that in Christ, in the church, our joy will be completed. Yeah, that word, that complete. I mean, I know I've had some happy days, not like Fonzarelli happy days, but like happy days where I've been full of joy. But man, can you imagine what complete joy is like? With zero burden. So that is what we receive in Christ. John Piper said, God is most glorified in us. It's the whole mission statement of Desiring God Ministries. Says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. It's like when we are satisfied, when God is the pinnacle of our satisfaction, when his church, when Jesus Christ is at the top, the thing that gives us the most joy and satisfaction, then that is when that point where God it gets the most glory from our lives. I'll close with this. If you would find God, he dwells on every hilltop and in every valley. God is everywhere in creation, but if you want a special display of him, if you would know what is the secret place of the tabernacle of the host high, the inner chamber of divinity, you must go where you find the church of true believers. For it is here that he makes his continual residence known in the hearts of the humble and contrite who tremble at his word. If you would find God, the place in this earth that you will find him most is in his church. Come and join us and be a part of Christ's church together with us. We long to lay our lives down beside you and say, we are his, and I am here for you, and you are here for me. And we will sacrifice and serve and love one another and be the body of Christ together until the day the Lord takes us home. That is my covenant to you. I'm not going anywhere. Unless Jesus comes and says, Tyson, I told you to go to Detroit. Then I'd probably leave. But I'm here. I plan to die here. And that's our plan. We've got a goals list. Goal number one, die in Wichita. And that's what God has called us to. I invite you to come and serve and love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and use this church as your launching pad for loving one another as Christ has loved you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you, and I love your church, God, and I am so blessed to call myself, to stand proudly and say, I am a member of Christ's church at Restored. This is my home. This is my family. This is the people that I will lay my life down together with. God, we thank you for your universal church that of other believers meeting all over the world today and this weekend and at various times. God, we praise you, God, that your church is universal, God, and we also praise you that your church is local, where we can be a part of your gospel glory shining out through the lives of the men and women here, God, and that through us, Jesus, through our love, our sacrifice, our joy, Lord, you would bring others to know you as Lord and Savior, and that you, Lord, would Jesus, would glorify yourself in this church, that you would grow this church, Lord, so deep into you, Lord, that our foundations reach the core of the earth, Lord, that you would grow us, Lord, and that you would grow as wide as the world lets us go. And so, Lord, we just praise you, Lord, for the unmatchable glory of your church, Lord, your redeemed, your body. We love you, Lord Jesus. It is you. You're the one we need. So we just come and cry out to you. We ask all this in the strong and mighty and beautiful and redeeming and healing and restoring and forgiving and on name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Elder Tyson Yarnell this morning.
Aw, shucks. Well, thanks.
You know, I thinking about, you know, obviously we're pretty big on the church. We're what you call churchmen. Like, we believe in the church. And one of the biggest reasons for me why is everything Ty just said. It is the body of Christ. Like, this is Jesus's body here. And one of the ways that works out for me, like, I call out to God a lot of times. I'm like, God, why don't you help me? God, I need your presence. Lord, I need you to walk with me. Lord, I need you to help me in my finances. God, I need you to help me in my... And a lot of those times, it's like one of those asking for something that God has already provided things. And you should ask. But sometimes God's miraculous hand doesn't just reach down out of heaven and work something in your life. Sometimes the very thing God gave you to fulfill those desires and needs of your heart is his church. Like, this isn't just God's power, in the church. God's power is manifest in his church. You hear what I'm saying? This is how God uses, this is the vehicle that God uses to touch the nations, the broken, bring restoration. It comes through his Holy Spirit, working through his people, the local church. Whether you know it or not, or you are, and many of you here are members and part of our church, and some of you guys are members at other churches, I say amen. But the people that I see struggle the most are the people that don't have roots, that are not grounded somewhere where people can breathe into your life, call you out, encourage you, walk with you when hell on earth breaks out. This is what you're made for. This isn't a suggestion to you. You are supposed to be a part of the local body of Christ. And it's not just a have to, this blesses your life. This is where people breathe into you. This is where people walk with you. This is where you get taught and where you learn and where you come and lay down your life. Amen? For those of you who are part of a body of Christ, the body of Christ, you should give God praise this morning because it's a gift to you. Amen? And so we just give God thanks. And also this morning we'll have prayer team on the side. If there's anything as the body we need to pray for you about, you know, if you're walking through hard times, you need encouragement, you need to come confess. Today you need to make Jesus your Lord and Savior of your life. We want to do that with you, not just now, not just a service where we tell you to mark a card. We want to walk with you for the rest of your life as you follow after Jesus. We want to know about that today. So come forward, come and worship, come to the cross as we sing, but let's stand and begin to worship again.